Now, today's message, I'm beginning a new series. We just finished an old series last week, but we're beginning a new one. And this series is called Change Your Life.
Amen.
Change Your Life.
All right.
So you can change your life. Now, I think a lot of people want change. Now, some people want change because they hate their life. Their life sucks and they want everything in it to change. They want it to be completely different. Other people, they like most things in their life. In fact, they're having a great life. They're having an incredible life, but they're believing they can do even better. They can even have a greater life. So they're believing for change that their life will be even greater. Now, some people like a lot of aspects of their life, but there's just one thing that's bugging them. So they just want to change one part of it. And if they could just change that, then they'd be really happy. But I believe that everybody wants to change their life or some aspect of their life. I believe that I'm talking to a group right here where there's everybody is believing for something to get better. Because when I'm talking about changing your life, I'm not talking about changing it to get worse. I'm talking about changing it so that it gets better, so that you have a better life, so that you feel better, so that you have accomplished more, so that you feel successful, so that you have more fun. Say amen to that. Now, let's read this, because this is in 2 Corinthians 5:16, and this is about God, and it says, therefore, and Paul is writing this, so Paul the Apostle has written this, and he says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what that means, if anyone is in Christ, it means we have received Jesus. We believe that God came down and walked in the body as Jesus, fulfilling and opening the way to a spiritual life for us. And then we said, yes, I believe that. Jesus, come into my heart. Now we are in Christ. That's what he's saying there. So if anyone is in Christ, he is now a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. We have reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, I wanted to focus on a couple things there, because what we're talking about is we're talking about change here. This is what God's plan is for you. And God's plan for you is that your life change. And he is talking about you're no longer in the flesh. Remember that part? He's saying you're no longer in the flesh, but you're now of God. He is saying you're going to be different. What did he say there? He said you're going to be, he is a new creation. In some translations it says he is a new creature. That means you are a new creature. Now, if you're a new creature, that means you're nothing like the way you were before. You have changed completely. You have changed totally. Everything is different in your life now. Everything is completely different. Nothing is the same. You can't be two different creatures. You know, you can't be a completely different creature and have anything be the same. And that's what they're talking about. You become a new creature, a new creation. You're totally made over. And it says that. It says, now all things have become new. Imagine that in your life. If all things became new in your life today. How different are we? That's called change. Yeah? So behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Meaning they're no longer of that fleshly, that physical way of only living by our physical senses is what, when I'm saying fleshly, that's what I mean. Now, no longer living by our physical senses only, but now we're living in a spiritual way. We're seeing with spiritual eyes, and we're understanding there is a supernatural power that we can use throughout our day to change situations and circumstances. And that you have the authority by God, by believing in him, you have the authority now to change your situation and your circumstances.
Amen.
So what I'm getting at here is that God's will for you is that you have complete and total change. He wants you to become. Now, he had a plan for you from the very beginning that he wanted your life to be amazing. He wanted you to be successful. He wanted you to be happy. He wanted you to be prosperous. And somewhere along the way, we learned other things. We got off track and we kind of got into, maybe we got into a rut or a routine where we just forgot about it. Maybe we didn't know about it. Maybe you didn't know that God wanted you to be happy. Maybe you thought, oh, God didn't want that. Yes, he did. He does. He wants you to be happy. And so what we're getting at here is that that's how he created us. And then he created a plan. He created a plan for you to change totally. In other words, it's already set up. In the spiritual world or in his kingdom when you're working with him, he has already set it up that your life can change totally and completely. Your life can change totally and completely, and it can happen right now. It can happen right now. And I'm speaking to you because about this because sometimes we want change in our life. We want to move. We want healing. We want to have a better relationship. We want to have our life be successful. We want something to happen. We want something to be different. But how many of us are afraid of change? There's a lot of people that are afraid of change. They don't like change. They don't want things to change. Do you feel like that sometimes where when stuff is changing that you didn't think you wanted change, suddenly the situation is different and now you get upset? I have a cat like that. My cat, Manya, she likes her routine. And she has her scratchy pole where she likes it. And she has little rugs by the scratchy pole. And she has certain beds all over the house. And she likes everything to be right where it's supposed to be. But I'll tell you, you know, some days we're cleaning. And Liza will pick up all these rugs that she has all over the place. She's a very spoiled cat. She's got rugs everywhere. And these rugs go down to the washer. And now she starts to notice, oh my God, my rugs are gone. And she walks around. She looks like this. She's like, where are the rugs? And if we move the scratchy pole to sweep around it or something, suddenly she's like, she starts crying and saying, that's supposed to be over there. You know, you can see it in her eyes. It's like if she could point, she'd be like, put it back. She doesn't like change. And to make her point, she really protests. She will lay where the rug was on her belly with her chin like right on the floor, and she'll look as pathetic as possible. You know, like, you don't love me. There's no rug here. And you really get the point. Or sometimes she will crawl underneath the scratchy pole thing. There's like a little base on it, and she'll wrap herself just on the little rug at the bottom. And it's such a small space, so she's all crammed in there. And then she's like, see what I have to do. Because I got no rugs. But that's the way. So us, you know, you can maybe relate to that. Sometimes we feel like that when something's changing. And we were like, well, I don't think I asked for that to change. I don't like that. We start to resist. And so this is a problem. If you don't like change, if you're like my cat, and you don't want things to be different, how are you going to change your life if you don't want things to be different? And this is what I often see people do. I see people complain about what they don't like in their life. I see them talk about what they would like to happen. And then I notice because they don't like change, they don't do anything. And guess what? Nothing happens. Nothing changes. And I have a little ditty that I like to say. And I hope you guys will remember this because I've said it quite a bit, but maybe you'll remember it too. If you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. Yeah? It's very simple, but it's true. And the funny thing is, we talk about how we want something to be different. And we complain about what's wrong. And man, some of us will tell every single person on the street that we meet, it doesn't matter if they're a perfect stranger, I'm going to tell them what's wrong in my life. They don't want to hear it, but you're going to tell them anyway. And yet, you know that guy, huh? Yeah, I know him too. But yet, they won't do something. They won't do one thing. They won't lift one finger. They won't make one small, insy, bitsy, little, do something different, man, so that it changes. So they just keep telling you what's wrong with their life and why it's different and why it doesn't work. But God's will for us is that he wants us to change. He wants us to be transformed. Now, it's not that he doesn't love you the way you are. He does. He loves you the way you are. But he wants the best for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God wants the best for you. And He has already prepared the best. He has already planned it out. He's already laid out the cake. It's waiting and it's ready for you. And all He is saying is, let me help you. Let me lead you over here to where I prepared everything that's really good. Over here. And a lot of people that hate change are standing over there and going, I don't like this. But because they hate change, they're not moving. And they're not doing anything. I hate this. And God's trying to say, just come over here. And so that's why He has this plan for us to change totally and completely. And the first part of that change that we got to start to have is already, if you're complaining about your life, you already know, I don't like it, right? Can we all admit that? If you're already complaining that something isn't working, you're telling everybody about it, that it's not working, you don't like it, right? And what that means is you want change.
Amen.
But there's kind of a stretch there because some people, I think some people relate. They don't make the realization that I'm complaining about it because I don't like it. How am I going to fix it? I want change. Come with me here. I want change, right? I want to do something different is what you're saying. Say that. I want to do something different.
I want to do something different.
That's right. If you want change, you want to do something different.
Amen.
Because if you do the same thing, what did I say? You're going to get the same thing you got. You know, you always do what you always did. You're always going to get what you always got. Right? So you want to do something different. I see some of you squirming in your chairs. You're like, oh my God, I got to do something different. Oh, I can't handle that. Something different in my life. Give me a bag. I know. It's scary, isn't it? But it's okay. It's okay, because God's already planned it out. He's prepared. I'm getting a little lightheaded. I was breathing too much. Whew. It's okay, though. He's already planned it out, and He's created a way for us to change. I read about it. See, He is talking about, when He talks about reconciliation, He's talking about bringing us out of this place where we're standing there going, I don't like this, bringing us into Himself so that He merges with us, so that now the Spirit of God is on the inside, meaning God is on the inside. Once we have God on the inside, it's like having GPS. GPS that now, the only maps it has guide us to the good stuff. You know, so it doesn't lead us into the bad stuff. It only leads us to the good stuff where we can have a great life, a successful life. So you've got GPS on the inside now. The God positioning system. Or global, whatever. You know, but that's what He's trying to do. When He talks about, you know, as I read from this verse, the word of reconciliation, it's all about reconciling with God, getting back together with God, being one with God. Hey, do I get some gum too? No, I'll save it for later. I'm distracted. Being one with God is what He's asking for. And He wants us to be one with Him because once we have His Spirit on the inside, there is now a supernatural strength in us. The supernatural strength, it also gives us supernatural courage. Supernatural courage to now do things that we've never done before. Meaning, do things that are different. So that we don't have to be afraid of the change, and we don't have to be afraid that something's going to be different, because now we have this understanding. So, the first step in change, I'm going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, so I hope you guys come back. Because we want to change your life. You want to change your life.
Amen.
And as we talk about this, we're going to be applying the things we need to do. I'm going to be asking you, go home and do some homework. Apply this. Why? So your life can change. And as you do that, you're going to see things happen. You're going to see things change, and you're going to feel better. I know you're going to feel better. I know it. Now, God has done amazing things with changing people, so He can do it for you too. He took a shepherd and made a king out of him. That was David. Remember, he was a shepherd and he made a king out of him. He took a slave and he made a governor out of him. This is called change. He took a slave and he made a governor. That was Joseph. Now, he took cripples and he made healthy people out of them. I like that.
Amen.
But if you're afraid of change, you might be stopping yourself. Got to release that fear of change right now. I'm giving you an opportunity by talking about this. I know some of you are feeling a little anxiety, saying, uh-oh, he's asking me to do something different. But what I'm saying is you have an opportunity right now to begin to give that to God. Release that fear. Release that resistance. Let go of what is stopping you from stepping forward into something better. Because God can take you wherever you are and make you a governor. God can take you and turn you into a king. King of your life. King over all the things that try to stop you. He can take you and make you healthy if you're sick. Yes, amen to that.
Amen.
Now God took water and he made wine. He took lemons and made lemonade. He took mountains and he made molehills. All right. He didn't take lemons and make lemonade. But if he had lemons, he would have done that. He would have. He would have made lemonade. He took a sea and he made a path out of it that the people of Israel could cross over and escape from their enemies through a sea. So he can take things and change them for the better. What am I getting at? I'm getting at that he wants to change your life for the better. Your first step is to have the desire to change. If you're already complaining and having a problem in your life, you may not be saying it this way, but you're saying, I have a desire to change. You're already saying that. That's step one. Have the desire. I want you to start to feel now in your hearts, yes, that is a desire to change. Because if you only make it about complaining, then you become a victim and you never have the victory. And you never have the ability to step into something greater if you only complain about it in your life. And that's why I want you to realize when you're complaining about something in your life, it's your desire to change. But we have to shift it. We have to refocus it so you can see that. Yes. And God wants us to change. His plan is for us to change. And now, if we can shift it and saying, oh, wait a minute. I'm complaining. I don't like my life. I have a desire to change. If you can see that, I have a desire to change, now you can begin to step forward and begin to move in a different way. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So you're starting to feel that. I want you to have that desire. Start to feel that in your heart. I have a desire to change.
I have a desire to change.
Start to feel it. Because if you're complaining about something, and it doesn't matter if it's something small or something big, you've already got that desire. Now we got to hone it. We got to focus it. Yes. That's a desire to change. It's not a desire to complain. It's a desire to change. It's a desire to go and do something different. God's already got the plan for you. He's already showing you where you can go and what you can do. Now, you may not be seeing that yet in your life. You may be going, well, Ted, I'm not sure what I want to do, and I'm not sure where I want to go. I know I need to change now. I have that desire, and I want to do something different. Listen to this. Here's another verse we have, and this is in 1 Corinthians. Again, this is Paul writing. And the other one was in 2 Corinthians. So here we go back to 1 Corinthians. And here he says in this is chapter 15, verse 51. He says, behold, I'll tell you a mystery. Oh, we all like secrets. I'll tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. We all shall be changed. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, like it or not, you can either use your desire to change to step into something good and to become a part of God's plan, to have something amazing, or you can let your fear stop you, continue to complain. Guess what? Stuff's going to change anyway, but it's going to change for the worse. It's going to change not for the better. It's going to become more problems, and you're going to have more things to complain about. So either way, he's saying, I got a little mystery for you. Everything's going to change anyway. Anyway, it's going to change. So we got a choice. Do I want to be in control of my life with God? Do I want to do something amazing and do something great and step up and say, let's do this, God? Or do I want to stay over there quivering, do nothing, which still is going to lead to change in my life? It just won't be the change that I want. It won't be the life that I want either. So once we know it's a desire to change, we can now begin to use the desire to change our life to what we want. What do you like? Want your wife? What do you want your life to be? You know, we can now begin to do that. So we can now begin to see What is my life meant to be? Now, I already told you, God wants you to have an amazing life. And he's taken people who were slaves and who were cripples and who were shepherds, and he lifted them up into amazing places to do amazing things. He has the same plan for your life. God has the same plan for your life. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are or what you think or how many things you think you got wrong or how you don't think you're smart enough. It doesn't matter, because God has a plan, and he put a blueprint in your heart from the very beginning that said, I want to make you great.
Amen.
I want to make you have a great life. That's my plan, the plan of reconciliation. When you get together with me, man, in reconciliation, you're going to have an amazing life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You're going to have an amazing life. You're going to do amazing things, and you're going to be the one that's stepping up to become the king. It doesn't matter where you came from. God can make you into something amazing and something great. And the opportunity is yours right now, just to grasp the desire. Now, let me tell you something about desire. We've got to be able to see the plan of God very clearly, or the plan that God has for your life. You've got to see, where am I going? And once we get a hold of that plan, we got to make sure that our desire does not falter, that we understand, yes, this is where I want to go. This is my plan. This is who I'm going to become. We need to be firm in that, because something can happen if our desire is wavering. Yeah, I want to change. No, I don't want to change. Yeah, I want to change. No, I don't want to change. Yes, I'm going to change. No, I'm not going to change. What happens? I never get where I'm going. Now, this happened to some people in the Bible. Now, you might not know the story, but I'll just kind of fill you in on it. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They wanted to get free, and they were crying out to God, God, free us from this imprisonment, from this slavery. Deliver us from this slavery. And so God finally delivers them. He comes down. He brings Moses in. Moses talks to Pharaoh. There are 10 plagues that have to take place in order to release these people from Israel, and they get out. That's a long story. I just shortened down to really short. But the whole point is they get out. They wanted to get out, right? That was their desire, to get out. The desire was to get free, to get out. Now they're out. They're not even very far away yet, and they come to their first obstacle, the Red Sea. This massive sea is out before them, and their enemies are bearing down upon them. And what's the first thing that starts to come out of their mouth? Thanks a lot, Moses! You brought us out here to die, didn't you? What? They just lost sight of where they're going. They've already lost sight. What's your desire? You wanted to get free. You should be saying, thank you, Moses. We're free. No, you brought us out here to die. Luckily, God is still with them. He parts the Red Sea. He opens the way. The problem was they continued to change their desire like this. I want to be free. Oh, I should go back to Egypt. They kept saying, we should go back to Egypt where we had it good. I had a bed. I had food. Man, that was the good life. They were saying that. I'm like, when I read that, I'm like, what? You guys were slaves back there. See, their desire wasn't clear, and they weren't committed to their desire. You got to be committed to the desire. Once you, now you're already complaining about it, which says you have a desire to change. And once you see the plan of God, that he wants to take you into something better, and you say, yes, God, help me, get me out of this, and now he delivers you out of it, you've got to stick to the desire. I still want to have the great life. I haven't lost sight of that. I'm still moving towards something great. What was God saying to the people of Israel? He was saying, I'm going to take you to the promised land. I'm going to take you into a nation where there's going to be, man, it's going to be like milk and honey flowing everywhere. Everything's going to be great, is what he was saying. And that's what they should have stayed focused on. Whoa, that's the plan. I had a desire to change. I wanted to get out of Egypt. Now God's taking me here. They're out in the wilderness in between Egypt and between the promised land. And they just have to make a journey from Egypt to the promised land. It's not very far. Actually, if we get up the map, it seems like anybody can make the walk. Although it's wilderness, there's not a lot of water. I agree. Could be a little bit challenges, you know. But beside that, it's not impossible. But because they kept losing focus on what their desire was, they're looking at the promised land, they're turning around, they're looking back at Egypt. Man, we should have stayed there. They're looking at the promised land, oh, then looking back at Egypt. Because their desire wasn't focused to reach their goal and say, no, no, there's no turning back here. There's no going, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back to that old life. I'm not going back to those old ways. I have set my intention on having a better life. And God has showed me that He wants me to have an amazing life. And I am sticking to that desire. I am going for it and I'm not looking back. Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, we need to have that desire where we stay focused on what the goal is. Because if we're like, what happened to the people of Israel that went out into the wilderness? They died. They all died. They never made it to the promised land. That's what happens when we lose focus. God was ready. He had prepared everything. The way was open. It was clear. The only problem was them. The only problem was they kept looking back. They kept getting distracted. Hey, there's a rock. Oh, pretty. No, no, keep focused. The promised land, man. Keep going. And it's the same thing in your life. You want something better, and you choose, yes, I want to work with God. The Spirit of God fills you up. God begins to show you visions and dreams of what your life can be, that you can be a king, that you can be a governor, that you can be healed. And now you need to remember, my desire is that and only that, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to be like a pit bull, and I'm going to grab into it, and I'm not letting go till I get there. Because if we lose focus and our desire wanders and we kind of go back and forth, we're going to die in the wilderness too. And that's a place of mediocrity. It's a place where we have not accomplished anything and we have not achieved our goals and we have not made a difference in the world. And everything fades away and the promises of God were still as real and true and ready for them to receive as ever. And they were so close, but because they had a short attention span, and they couldn't stay focused, they missed out on a great opportunity. God has a great opportunity for you today.
Amen.
You're not going to miss out on it.
Amen.
You're not going to miss out on it because you now know I have a desire to change. And you now know that God has a great plan for you. You may not have seen it yet for your life, but He has a great plan for you. I want you this week to start to look and ask God to show you, what is the great plan, God? Who do you want me to become? Where are you taking me, God? Show me the vision for my life so that I can grab hold of it because I have a desire to change. I know I don't like what I've got. That means I have a desire to change right now. I'm ready, God. Let's go on a journey. Deliver me out of this bondage. Because it feels like bondage. When you have a problem or something in your life you don't like, it feels like you're in prison. And you need a plan. You need to have the desire to escape from prison. And that's what God is giving you right now. You can escape whatever the problem is. You can escape whatever it is. Not by running away, though. You can go to some other country, but I'm going to tell you something. You can pick up, move tomorrow, and land in some other country. And you're going to find out in a few weeks, I'm still the same person I am. There was a great book. I loved the title. I hated the book. I love the title, though. It's called Wherever You Go, There You Are. And it's very true. Wherever you go, there you are. And that's something we got to know is you can't change your life just by picking up and running away to somewhere else. You're still going to end up being the same person you are. But what God is talking about is real change. He's talking about change from the inside. Remember what He said? You're going to be a new creation, a new creature. If you're a new creature, you're not going to do the same things as the old creature. You're going to do whole new things. He said all things are going to be made new. And that's what He's promising you in this change that I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being totally and completely different in all ways. And you can do it because that's the plan He has for your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.